This episode of the Coastal Noise podcast is sponsored by Mizo's Juke Joint in Ocean Springs. We're happy to partner up with Mizo's and this podcast that we recorded at Mizo's took place just moments before we put on our first open mic for comedians at the very place. And we had a great time. We appreciate Mizo's allowing us to come do it, and it will be a weekly thing, and it's going to be hosted by Daniel Cavanaugh and Ryan Van Sciver and myself each week, Mondays at 8 p.m. That's right after happy hour ends from 6 to 8, and it's open to anybody who wants to get up there and try. We really appreciate everybody who showed up. We had the whole bar, every seat filled, and everyone was very attentive, and we all had a good time. We all had a good laugh. A lot of people showed interest in maybe preparing some material and coming up for a future time. So we're really excited about that. So just thanks to everybody. And we look forward to doing it again and appreciate all the good feedback and the positive vibes. If you want to talk to us more about it, or wants more information, or want to talk to one of us about going up, you can contact Daniel Cavanaugh on Facebook. You can contact Ryan or myself. You can go to the Coastal Noise page, and there's contact forms there. You can do any of that. Also, you know, our social media pages, Facebook, Twitter, all that good stuff. You can find us all on any of those venues of communication. Speaking of which, in terms of communication, the podcast we did for this episode, I had all the equipment that I brought with me, and then I did not bring the charger to my laptop, so the audio is a little off because we used backup equipment for the podcast. So that's why the quality is not up to par with our other normal shows that we do. But it turns out to be a good little 50 minutes of a pre-show before the comedy. So, you know, all's well, ends well. I have a new blog that's going to be coming up soon about a 1970s Yamaha guitar that I recently acquired. Nice little story behind it, and I'm getting it restored as we speak. And I will have the finished product of that later on after I get it returned to me. I also have a new track up on the music page, a working track that I put together a little while ago. So I hope you can check that out as well. That being said, we're going to go ahead and get right into the podcast. This is the Coastal Noise Podcast with Ryan Van Sciver and Daniel Cavanaugh. Enjoy.
It's a good neck.
Yeah, it was a good time.
So we've made it happen, guys. We're here.
Are we rolling?
We're with it. We're rolling.
Levels are good?
Who knows? We brought all the equipment to do a podcast, got all the way here, and then one cable. All it takes is one cable that you don't have.
A charger. We had...
Supporting cable.
We were worried about that
power cable. The umbilical cord to the mothership.
Fucked. And now we
all
got
the equipment is just useless. It's one little cable.
Do we want to talk about this equipment and like let people know?
This is the same equipment we used to record episode 14 when I was on the plane to Denver, Colorado with Levi Wall. This is the same thing. This probably sounds way better than that episode though, because I was on a plane. Planes have these things. These loud... Dude, I've been telling everybody and trying to get anybody who'll see it the video of Spaceship 2 with Richard Branson.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to... That's going to be one of the... I was going to ask y'all. Do y'all have anything on that?
No.
Got no space material.
That's free range for you,
bro. I listened to the last podcast we did and just, dude, so much like came from that that I just wrote down. I was like, damn, that's good. And so yeah, I've got a nice little chunk right there.
Do you use like the movie, the in-flight movie thing?
Hmm?
Does the in-flight movie come up?
Hey, you never knew.
Oh, fuck.
Yes.
It's, okay. It has to. You can't just not say that.
But, man, it's so
I saw you post that on Facebook. I just hadn't seen it yet.
The video?
Yeah.
You watched it on the podcast.
I didn't know.
Yeah?
Yeah, he showed us that.
Well, I heard it.
I have proof.
Oh, the lift off or so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's remember where it detaches and drops down?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, well, yeah. All right, never mind.
There you go.
Fucking retract that.
You guys, statement. If you haven't seen it, I highly encourage you to go to Costa Noise to see the video section of it.
It really is some crazy shit.
Yeah. We've made it. We've made it to commercial flight. And they've actually got it down to a... They pull that entire spaceship, the big thing that takes off, mm-hmm. with a... No, the little one that detaches. They tow that around with a truck. All you need is a truck. Anything less than that, if your car can't pull this spaceship, your car's a bitch.
Yeah.
And my car can't pull it, so my car's a bitch car. We all have bitch cars, basically.
2005 Toyota is not known for its manliness.
I got a 2003 Mustang GT, but it's broken, so it's a bitch.
Yeah, now. Yours would probably...
And I can't tow it, so it's a bitch.
I can see your car, like, trying to pull it, and then the spaceship's like, just... Ah, you know what?
And your car's getting mounted instantly.
Your car gets just shot into space with it.
I'd be so mad.
The pilot gets tired. Thinks you're an old woman driving.
What a way to go, huh? Like to be in the Mustang and then all of a sudden you're plummeting towards Earth.
That's a good way to go, I think.
It's exciting. Not a lot of people are going to take claim to it. No one's done it before. It's original.
I'd still be finding the right song to die to. Yeah. On the way down.
Get some good tunes going.
Yeah. I'd be running through my
changing
iPod.
The radio.
Wonder if Spotify will work like 50,000 feet up.
It's closer to the satellite, so yeah.
Yeah, you'll get better signal. What is this, 5G?
This is very good. I'm going to listen to this Bo Burnham song again before I crash into the earth. Hope that never happens. I know you said you did a podcast on a plane. I've only been on a plane once and realized that nobody gives a fuck about being on planes. But I did. You know, it was when that time I went to Colorado and it was just me and Lyle, but he gave me the window seat. And everybody, I look around, everybody's just like trying to either fall asleep or like texting or some bullshit. And I'm like looking out the window and looking at Lyle and looking out the window and looking at him. I'm like with like a happy face on, like I can't believe this is happening. Nobody else gives a fuck. And then when I come back, my experience is I got to sit next to a meth head. For sure a meth head all the way there. You know how when dudes get older, some of them will get that like spot of baldness right on the back of the head, and some of them try to hang on to that front hair just because what they got left, but it's the right move is to get rid of it. This guy had it, but spiked all of it, so it's spiky all the way around.
Wow.
Like back in 2000, like I don't know if JNCOs had any spiky haired kids. I think they did as like a symbol for JNCOs, that little shit.
Yeah,
that's what this dude looked like. But he was like, you know how dudes like hack phlegm up? Like, I don't want to do it. It's just an unpleasant sound, so I'm not going to do it. But he's doing that the whole way there. I'm like, I hope this guy doesn't get out of line, because I can't. I can fight this guy for a couple minutes. I don't know how long I can hold him off. I hope there's an air marshal in here.
Someone at least helps you.
Yeah, something. But, no, I got back to Earth fun. How many times have you flown?
A decent amount.
Yeah.
Probably not more than like somewhere around a dozen, I would probably guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That shit is cool to me. Everybody else seems to like think it's a burden.
It's alright.
But it's like a treat.
It's better than driving. Well, yeah. Unless you're doing like a road trip kind of deal, but
yeah.
Yeah.
TSA lines aren't any fun.
No.
Particularly.
I didn't have any like bad experiences though. But I didn't have any coke or anything on me either.
Yeah.
You know, I went in there clean.
Last time I went, they waved me through TSA. I didn't even have to do anything.
Really?
Pretty awesome.
Yeah, they didn't profile you?
No, I guess I look
supply to the
non-dangerous.
A white male.
Just so everybody knows, the background noise that's going on is we are at Mizo's. We're getting ready for the very first comedy open mic night here at Mizo's, starting at 8 o'clock.
This is exciting shit.
Yeah.
It's been in the works for a couple weeks now, huh?
Yes. And we were hoping that we could do it outside. But it's too cold, so we're going to do it inside. It's going to be good stuff. There's also raccoons and cats. We're looking out the window right now, and there are cats and raccoons just like swarming around the perimeter.
Yeah, we went to go grab this little table so we'd have a good spot. And I was like unaware of it. Like, I just thought it was a regular cat eating some cat food. And I look down and there's a raccoon staring me in the eyes, and he backed up at first, But he came right back. He wasn't afraid of me. I was afraid of him. I'm glad we're inside and away from him. But I was saying I hope he signs up tonight because I want to hear like raccoon material and what that would be like. Maybe talk shit about the cats because they're all over the place.
I think it would just be a lot of gibberish.
Yeah. I saw raccoons taking over the city not too long ago. I mean, like a gang of raccoons. Like, because I know if I'd ever seen one, it was like scurrying across a yard at night. And just one of them, I saw like 15 raccoons running across the street.
Oh, wow.
Got like real worried about it. Like, I don't know whose bit it was, but there's somebody who talks about like rabid dogs taking over most of the major cities. And I thought that was happening with raccoons. Which is maybe like a little more plausible, seeing as how they look like bandits. They're down to fuck shit up.
I had a family member who had one as a pet.
Yeah.
In their childhood.
Why? I guess they're
cuddly. I really like them, man. They're cuddly looking things.
They
not
are.
Not like those Caucasian shepherds we looked at the last time we were here just hanging out.
Oh my god,
out.
I know.
I'm going to post some pictures of some Caucasian shepherds.
How big? Don't they get to be like 300 pounds? Isn't that around the mark? That's fucking frightening.
We're going to look up some facts on these things because they're actually cool. Their name, they're used. Oh, wait, no, this is another dog I'm thinking of. The Norwegian Elkhound.
Yeah, you. Yeah.
Yeah, and it that one means moose hunter, moose dog, something like that. But
those I thought you were going to say moose knuckle.
Moose knuckle?
Totally doesn't apply, but like when I heard moose, I was like, moose knuckle.
That's the name of the band.
Something's
right there.
Wrong with my brain.
The Caucasian shepherds, they... What about them? Oh, they're the dogs that guard... The dogs that guard the sheep. So yeah. They're like shepherd to the shepherd.
That's fucking crazy.
Yeah. They're the bodyguards.
Yeah.
For the celebs.
They're like the bouncers of the sheep herding community.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they're not as smart to herd sheep, but they can eat a wolf.
So. Yes.
Yeah, they can eat the shit out of a wolf.
I think they do attack bears.
Do they win?
Sometimes, maybe.
Yeah. Dude, jukeboxes. Okay, you guys know John Mulaney, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard the bit about, oh my god, how good is that
so
one?
So good.
Where him and his friend go into a diner and pay for, like, I think, like, 8 plays of What's New Pussycat in a row.
What's New Pussycat?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. There's 8 of those in a row. And as his friend's about to put in another dollar for the next What's New Pussycat, he goes, wait. Let's throw in one, it's not unusual. And then switch back. If you don't know about that, you should YouTube it.
You should definitely listen to that one.
Yeah.
So the Caucasian Shepherd transliterated Russian, oh god, is a breed of dog that is popular in Georgia, Armenia, Northern Caucasus. It is extremely popular in Georgia. It is related to Georgian mountain dog. Oh, I don't understand that.
Hillbilly dog.
Strongly boned, muscular, even-tempered. Plain dogs have a shorter coat and appear taller as they are more lightly built. I want to see some facts on these things. I don't want this.
Can eat other animals.
Yeah.
Single bite.
Tell me things like that. That's what I want to know.
Comes in tiger stripes and leopard print.
What?
These colors they come in. These are all facts
tiger
right now.
Tiger stripe.
Yeah, those are the 2 colors you can get this dog in.
Tiger dog.
According to Stormheart, the Caucasian Shepherd is one of the oldest dog breeds in the world.
Wow.
These dogs, the size of a small bear, have for centuries protected herdsmen and their families and cattle against the attacks of large beasts of prey. The geographical isolation of the remotest mountain areas of Europe and Asia, as well as natural selection, helped the breed evolve in a way that only the biggest, most aggressive, and most intelligent dogs could survive in the austere conditions.
What's austere?
Serious.
Treacherous.
Terribly difficult. Average weight of 70 kilograms, which who knows... Who knows what
that is? This fucking cannabis.
Right.
But I imagine it's a lot.
150? I don't know.
I should probably. Why the fuck did we learn pounds? Like, why do we. Why do we gotta fight that?
Because we're stubborn.
Yeah, but the system of tens just seems so easy.
It's definitely way more
But it's difficult to me. Because I'm so used to bullshit.
I tweeted that everyone says we should... Everyone says that we should adopt a metric system, but I think we should just adopt the Spanish exclamation point.
Okay. How does that work?
Because they have the two exclamation points, one at the beginning and one at the end. What if you're reading a sentence, right? And then you don't know it's supposed to be all exciting until you get to the end. At the beginning, you would know if we got the upside down exclamation point at the front.
Yeah.
Very logical.
Mm-hmm. That's fucking... It's certainly funny. I was going to call it dumb, but I don't know.
It's a little both.
The Spanish guy, they got to have something, right?
Yeah, yeah. They learned from Latin, so... as a lot of languages did.
From the Latins. I took Latin in high school. Looking back on it, I probably should have gone with something that I could use as a language later. Like, it helps me understand certain, like, words. Like, if I don't know the meaning of something, I can pull the root word and be like, well, this is probably the right track. And I can use it without, like, if I don't explain that I don't know what it is, I sound smart. I'm not, but I can create an illusion with that. But really, I should have learned, like, Spanish. So I can go to Mexico and not get, you know, dumbfounded.
I took Spanish. I didn't learn any, so.
Really?
I took 3 years in high school and, like.
Shit.
Four in college? But I never got past Spanish 2 in college. I just kept failing Spanish 2.
Dude, my first day at Southern Miss, I was... Like, I got into this building, and I was like, where is this world history class? And they, like, just pointed to the corner of this room. He's like, it's back in that room right there. I was like, all right, thanks. And I walk in there, and I'm setting up at this table. And the teacher walks in and starts speaking, like, fluent, aggressive Spanish. And she's going, and she's like, everybody ready? And I was like, no. I raised my hand. I was like, this isn't a world civ, is it? Or whatever class I was in. She's like, no, this is Spanish 4. I was like, gracias.
Well, so confused. Is like, no, in Spanish. Ask me the question in Spanish. You're not getting out of here until then.
I'm just gonna walk away. Get. Sit down. You little shit.
I checked out a converter, by the way. It's 70 kilograms is 150 pounds.
Oh, okay.
Ish. So heavy, dog.
Why, see, why not kilometers? Like, I know that there's 1,000 meters in a kilometer, but if you don't know shit about our system, you gotta know 5,280 is a mile. It's too much. But, I mean, fuck it, we're America, I guess. Did you guys see that commercial? I guess it was for Coke.
You know, I was going to say, I watched none of the Super Bowl.
Not a lick.
None of it?
None of it.
I watched all of it. And, well, most of it. And poor Peyton Manning. He just got dominated. There was not much to be done.
I'm taking by what you just said that Denver lost.
They lost. And they lost big. 8-43, I believe.
You spoiled the ending of the game for me.
Well, it's not a fucking spoil. You weren't going to go back.
I had a DVR.
Oh, did you?
I did.
He was upset that he won.
Who's,
now you don't know who's telling the
who's
truth.
Who's Seattle's quarterback?
Huh?
Who's Seattle's quarterback? No? No idea? All right. That's fine, then. I did that to Lyle yesterday, or the day before. He's like, hey, man, you want to come to my house and watch the Super Bowl? And I was like, dude, you don't even know what football is. You shouldn't fuck up. I was like, all right, well, who's playing? He's like, Denver and Seattle. And I was like, oh, very impressive. You have a TV. I was like, all right. And I gave him the easy one. I was like, all right, who's Denver's quarterback? He's like, come on, man. You can't ask me stuff like that. I was like, one of the most famous quarterbacks ever. You don't know who he is. Whatever. And I was like, what was Jimmy Graham's position again? He's like, it's catcher, right? I was like, get the fuck away from me. That's my best friend. And I had to yell at him.
As y'all were getting a table from outside, I was sitting here. This dude comes from the bar just from around the corner. He goes, hey, that Super Bowl was pretty cool last night. They said Peyton Manning doesn't get to go to the Super Bowl, but he can go home and smoke a joint.
Like, yeah.
What?
That's
what?
The why silly would, thing to
why
say.
Why would you just say that to me?
That was fucking crazy. Yeah, the good thing was I saw a meme. I guess it's Dr. Evil, and he says, okay, so the teams from Washington and Colorado are going to get together for a Super Bowl. I was like, that's good shit. That's true. How, that is kind of weird, isn't it? That both of the teams from states that legalized pot got into the Super Bowl.
What's the NFL stance on it? Are they okay?
I think they're looking into making it legal. Or like, you know.
State by state?
Yeah, like you're not going to get penalized. I don't know if it's... I guess if it's the NFL, it should be the whole NFL. Right? Yeah,
well...
Or like...
I don't know, because then it's like saying they condone it where it's illegal in a state. And I think states are going to have problems with that.
Yeah.
So they're probably going to do it state by state if you...
It's just such bullshit, man. Why can't... If you're... You know how hard an NFL season is on the human body?
Yeah.
It's fucking ridiculous. Like... That in like in the UFC, why the fuck can't you get high in the UFC? Some dude's gonna go and punch your, knock your brain around your skull, and you're not allowed to get high before that?
I know a lot of those guys do though.
You know, Nick Diaz. I was gonna bring that up.
Have you heard the interview he does? What, the telephone conference he has?
I'm sure I have. I'm
it's
a
20 minutes
huge
long.
UFC fan.
This was like a big thing on YouTube because they had the recording of it and. Apparently he was like in his room shadow boxing while he was on the conference, and like you can hear three times in the conference call he takes a bong rip in the background, you can hear it, and then he's
shadow boxing. He might have been playing with fucking nunchucks.
That's it.
He does that.
Yeah,
he's good. That dude's the real deal. There was this organization, if you don't know about fighting, back in the day in like the 2000s, pride fighting was in Japan. It was a fucking huge deal. And I think it was in like 07. Nick Diaz shows up to fight a guy named Takanori Gomi, who's a really good fighter in Japan.
Uh-huh.
Nick Diaz beat the shit out of this guy. Like, clowned him. His thing is he's like a triathlete. Like, his cardio is just through the fucking roof. And he's got great boxing and fucking amazing jiu-jitsu. Mm-hmm. This dude knocks this guy around for a little while, finishes the guy with a gogopata, which is like an advanced fucking move. He like brings his shin like over this guy's shoulder, like his knee and his shin over the shoulder, and chokes him with his ankle. Like, it's really like advanced. It looks crazy. And then they test the guy after that, and they said he had so much THC in his system that he had to be high like a couple hours before the fight. And then they take that victory and make it a no contest, which doesn't make any fucking sense. Like, isn't that like some people say it's like a performance enhancer in terms of like making your body maybe heal and like relax. But you know how hard it is for me to play Madden when I'm high? Like, I can't do anything when I'm high. This guy's hitting go-go platas, and he punched that guy like 150 times, like without blinking. Like, why is that a penalty, you know?
Yeah. Well, I know a lot of people who take it and go work out.
Yeah.
They'll use
cannabis. But I don't know that it, like, enhances your endurance.
Well, you would say it's a numbing or sedative of some sort. So if that that state of being sedative puts you in a mindset or enables you to perform harder because you're not getting as much input on your feedback, or you know, you're more fluid. You know, some people say that, you know, marijuana will make you more fluid.
Yeah.
You know, that could be seen as an advantage over the person who's just operating on a level plane.
Mm-hmm.
But where it really gets difficult is just regulating any drug.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, see,
in sports,
the way I think about that is If you can't use weed before a fight, why the fuck should you be able to use caffeine? You know, when you go out to a fight, you should be
it's very little
really ready and like firing on all cylinders. A lot of dudes, I'm a big like Chael Sonnen fan. He's a guy in the UFC, and he says he takes two like no doses before because they test that too. You can't they test everything on you, and they don't want your caffeine levels to be too high. Measure everything.
Okay.
And he's like found out the measurement is two no doses and you'll be fine like an hour before the fight or something like that.
Uh-huh.
You know, you'd never, if you're a fighter or you're competing in anything, you wouldn't take anything that wasn't performance enhancing, you know? So I guess weed is a performance enhancer, but it's not fucking steroids, you know?
Mm-hmm.
In the NFL, I don't see why that should be a problem. Because you go and play... What, there's 16 games in a season now, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Not including the playoffs. every week you're running in full clip and running your body into another guy's body for, you know, collectively an hour of time. It's fucking insane. Like, you to say that they can't smoke weed is just too ridiculous.
I'm trying to think of what their after workout would be like. You know, like you say, they train super hard for so many days a week.
You wonder what their process for recovery is? Is that what you mean?
Well, what I'm thinking is when they do have their off days and they want to have some fun, they want to relax, you know, because everybody, whether you're just working, you're just doing your normal day-to-day stuff. I mean, think of super athletes like this. They're going to want to chill, too. They're gonna, they need downtime. Their muscles have to recover. So a lot of people, you know, are looking for some sort of, I don't want to say escape, but just like people go out and drink. Do you want a super athlete to go out and drink, which, I mean, alcohol has been shown time and time again to be really bad for you.
Quite
and you,
the hindrance.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But if people want to relax and have a good time, that's how so many of them get in trouble and accidents happen and people go to jail over and all this stuff. Whereas most athletes, like, who's the team in Portland? Is it Portland or just Oregon? The Oregon area. No, their college football.
Oh, the Ducks.
Ducks.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're totally fine with it. It's kind of like a don't ask, don't tell. The cops will pull over the athletes while they're out and about having a good time or whatever, find weed on them and don't really do anything about it,
right?
Because even the coach has been like, well, you know what, I think it's safer than alcohol. I'd rather them be smoking weed, staying indoors, watching movies, playing video games, just hanging out, just relaxing their bodies and their minds instead of going out, reducing their inhibitions, getting a chance of being more likely to get into an accident or do something that's going to put you out of a game, you know. Getting just legal trouble, whatever else it is, you know?
Well, I did hear...
The only legal trouble you get in from weed is because weed, the status of its legality. Yeah. So you get pulled over for it and you have it, and you go to jail and people go, oh, well, he shouldn't have, you know, weed. I mean, that's what he gets for being dumb. But the law, if the laws are incorrect, you know, then that's where the stigma comes in.
A guy named Dwayne Bowe got caught. He got arrested for weed, but he's in fucking Kansas City, you know. I mean, I guess if you get arrested, it's one thing, but if you're a player in Seattle or in Denver, I don't think you should be in trouble for that. But I don't think he even got suspended. He might have got a one game suspension, but that was it. And I know Goodell, or at least I think it was Goodell, who's the commissioner of the NFL, was they're talking about making that, they're taking that off the banned substances list. So I think that's a good thing. I don't know that I want to see people play high. That's what my friend said, is that everybody in Denver had to eat a weed brownie before they showed up because they were late to the game. And like,
and they did bad, just couldn't get it going. What was the final score?
43-8.
What?
Yeah, first play of the game, their center, Peyton Manning, comes up and is like getting ready to hike the ball and sees something on the defense and goes to check his line. Like, tell them to change their package or whatever, change the plan. And as he's doing this, as he's walking up to tell the center something, the center hikes the ball, throws it right over his head, and it rolls out of the end zone. They get a safety. That's two. That's 2 points. All right? And they end up getting a field goal and then another field goal. And, dude, that offensive line, fuck them. My roommate's kind of a dickhead. He's like, Peyton Manning's playing like he was playing like a pussy. He blew that game. I was like, dude, no, he wasn't. His offensive line failed him, and his receivers got beat the fuck up. And he threw a couple picks, but when he did, when he threw the ball, like it got out of his hand, somebody touched it. You know, everybody says that this hurts him a lot, and says, you know, puts a nail in the coffin that he's not one of the best quarterbacks of all time. I disagree. I just think that Seattle team is a fucking monster. If you don't know much about them, it's like their secondary, their safeties, and their cornerbacks. That package is easily the best in the NFL today, and their front seven is no fucking joke either. And that's all it took. As good as Peyton Manning is, if you put pressure on him, you can't throw on that secondary. It's just too much. But this is the first time I think to me, it's the first time. I could be wrong about this. I'm not, like, that big in the NFL. But it was the best offense in football versus the best defense. And 43-8 was the final score. So, I guess that defense wins championships thing has been has a little more backing behind it now, or at least we've been reminded of it. Mm. You know, I didn't give a fuck the Saints weren't in the game, so it's whatever. By the way,
nice.
Saints jersey, not authentic. It's not authentic, but it is a Saints jersey. We were Seattle beat us two times, once in the regular season, once in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And I was pissed, but man, that's definitely the best team in the NFL right now. It's just what it is. And normally when you win a Super Bowl, the next season is tough because you get the last pick in the draft. And most of the times, if people's contracts are changing, you got to pay them some more money. But in this particular case, everybody, that's a young team. I don't think very many people's contracts have to be renewed or anything. They're going to be a fucking force next year, too. So that's going to be scary to deal with. But I don't know. There's always hope. Any given Sunday, those dudes can get beat. They almost got beat by Tampa Bay earlier in the season, who was like one of the worst teams in the NFL. So any given day, man, it doesn't matter how good you are. But they put it together. I got to give them that. They put a hell of a squad together.
Good commercials?
Some pretty solid commercials. There was one I liked that was a Chevy commercial. It was for a truck. I can't remember
Colorado.
Which.
Colorado?
I think
Chevy
so.
Chevy Colorado?
Yeah.
It looks like it's kind of slick. It's got it's more rounded than edged than a normal truck. They just released it.
Maybe.
They're cool-looking trucks.
All I know is this...
Called the Chevy Colorado.
A little bit smaller than, like, their regular full-size.
I think so. Fuck, I couldn't tell you. The highlight for me was the... he's hauling a stud, a bull, and he's bringing them to fuck these cows so they can make some more cows. And they're playing... what song is that? I Believe in Miracles.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Won't you come along? Sexy Thing, I think that's the name of it. And,
speaking of Sexy Thing.
Yeah, I think that was it. That was a nice truck.
I mean, it's just...
That's the real deal.
Yeah. You see how the front of it's more rounded instead of edgy. That
I wouldn't mind having a truck, man.
Look at that. That is a good looking truck.
That is. That's some slick shit.
Will Smith would drive that stuff in like iRobot or something like that, you know?
He ain't fucking around.
No.
I wasn't.
It's like the older side of the older one.
Dude, you saw the it was like on British television as a talk show with Will Smith and his kid. And all of a sudden they broke out into the Fresh Prince song and he brought DJ Jazzy Jeff. He brought him in as a DJ, and then out of nowhere, Alfonso Ribeiro shows up and starts doing the Carlton. If you haven't seen that, Google that shit. Because that, I told my friend about it, and he didn't seem that excited, and I couldn't understand it. Because nothing could be like cooler to me than seeing all those dudes get together out of nowhere and start performing that song.
Did he watch The Fresh Prince a lot?
Yeah, I think so. I know fucking I did.
I
love that dude's pickup lines in the Fresh Prince. I remember he came up to a girl once. He's like, "Hurry up and write your number down before I don't want it anymore." he had a lot of fucking good lines. I know we've talked about that on the podcast before.
Fresh
I like
Prince.
That fucking show. Yeah.
They always play reruns.
They
on
certainly
TV
do.
All the time.
You know what I want to catch again is Whose Line Is It Anyway?
I mean,
like Netflix.
I used to watch that
all
the time.
Yeah, and I heard they've got the new thing going where.
I think
Aisha
Tyler's the host.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Who's that again? So. I think we've talked about this, but...
Aisha Tyler is in a couple movies, in a bunch of movies, really.
Yeah, she's...
I can see her face in my head.
Yeah, I can't... She's the voice of Lana in Archer.
She was in Bring It On, the original, wasn't she?
I don't know.
I could be wrong about that. I hope I'm thinking of the right one. Oh, wait, no, that's a different girl. This one, she's a comedian.
Yeah, she's a comedian.
A good one, I think.
Yeah, remember that show, The Fifth Wheel? She used to host that, I think. It was one of those dating shows. If you saw her, you probably recognize her.
Hey, to the listeners, you IMDb that shit because we can't figure it out for some reason. But she's good. I like her. Hey. You got me thinking about comedians. We gotta go to that fucking Saturday Night Live thing. What is that called?
It's the veterans of SNL.
Yeah, it's John Lovitz and who else?
Is it Rob Schneider and
Schneider's
Ted
there.
Meadows?
Yeah, I love all those guys, man.
The Ladies' Man.
Yeah, did you like that movie?
Yeah, I did. I like that character too.
Yeah, I like when he's walking to his boathouse and he gets his mail and he's throwing the mail on the water. He's like, Bill, and gets a telegram or some shit. Ooh, it's the ladies.
I don't know what their show would be though. Like, what do you think?
I don't know, but I love John Lovitz.
Yeah,
and I like Rob Schneider.
Yeah,
and I like Tim Meadows. You know.
Yeah.
Can't go too wrong.
Is it the IP?
Are they gonna do old SNL skits?
I don't know.
That'd be kind of fun. Like,
I would say if they did stand up, but I don't know.
Yeah. Well, we got a couple of shows coming up for stand up, don't we? We got that show, and then Larry the Cable Guy. And a musician that you told me about.
George Thorogood.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the Destroyers.
We should go to all of
them. I like him. I hate Larry the Cable Guy. He's not for me.
I do hate him. It's not that I like him, but I do recognize that he's funny. I know that he's putting on a game. We discussed this, but I do... Like, the comedian in me wants to be like, oh, that's bullshit. Like, mm-hmm. He's riding that all the way and just making money. But
I mean, that's cool.
But it is funny.
His character, that doesn't bug me. I just don't think it's funny. It's not my type of humor.
Okay.
Yeah,
we're not really like the target market.
Yeah.
Older redneck dudes.
That bitch is going to sell out, though, because target market is here.
It absolutely is.
George Thorogood, though. Wouldn't mind seeing him.
I'm into that.
He's fucking good.
He's said some very good things about him.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go to shows.
Yeah, I'd like to go to both of them, to be honest. Yeah.
Right, so it's two separate shows? I thought you were saying they were together.
That would be something else.
Wait, Larry the Cable Guy and George Thorogood are together?
No.
Okay, alright, cool. I'll go to George Thorogood then.
Yeah.
Go check that out.
They're all separated.
He used to be, George Thorogood was a professional baseball player before he became...
Really?
A badass blues slide guitarist, as he is.
I didn't know he played baseball.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Well, now you do.
My guess is, like, he did okay in it, just made some bank, and was like, I'm going to do what I really want to do, which is play music, and started a rocking band, so.
That's interesting to be like, I'm just going to do this professional baseball thing till my music kicks off.
This whole baseball thing is just a means to an end.
I just really don't like it. It's just something I gotta do to get to where I wanna be.
I wanna do interpretive dance.
Oh my god.
Ooh, hello.
Ooh, hello.
I think of that song every time, because they used to play it on the Sam Adams commercial.
Yeah. Bad to the bone, one bourbon, one scotch, one beer, I drink alone.
Yeah, I like that one.
Good stuff.
I like this song.
This is The Hook by Blues Traveler.
I hate Blues Traveler. Sorry, guys.
It's okay.
It's
your
world.
It's kind of.
You know?
I've seen them once from a boat.
Oh, yeah?
Off on the water, and they were playing a show at a little venue, and there was a big. The dock.
I know about that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I don't know if this is true. A friend of mine, Ryan, he's in the music business, and he said that this guy invented his own little makeshift harmonica key changer right there, so he doesn't have to change keys for his harmonicas to get a different key of harmonica. He just has a switch that he does, and it just does it right there.
That's cool.
Yeah, and I'm sure other people have made similar things, but it's still a pretty cool,
I need to take some time to learn how to play.
This guy was
harmonica.
Also massive into heroin.
Oh, okay.
Really?
Pepper that in there.
He is the largest heroin addict I've ever seen.
He's a big dude.
At least he's not on that fucking, what is it?
Crocodile.
Yeah.
I always thought heroin made you lose weight.
Why?
You just weren't hungry. I just figured you were too busy doing heroin to eat.
It's not heroin, but alright, that reminded me of Artie Lang. He was talking about how bad he was into coke.
Yep.
And when he was in rehab, one of the dudes saw him and he knew, he's famous for doing a lot of cocaine. And one of the guys in rehab, he's like, damn man, what are you putting that shit on, cheeseburgers?
I would just assume any drug addict should be skinny. Just, I guess.
Just to fit the bill.
Yeah.
You know? Joey Diaz isn't, I don't know what he looked like when he did coke. I think he was fat when he was doing coke.
Probably. Maybe he stopped and then just gained all the weight. Who knows?
Maybe.
Could be. I'm probably wrong.
I just imagine him doing coke off his belly. and do it everywhere.
Kind of like an otter, but just with cocaine instead of an oyster.
So he just wants, he always wanted to just do, he's like, it. He didn't want to gamble because if he lost money gambling, then the money was just fucking gone. But if he bought coke, he'd at least look out the window for a little while.
Yeah.
Speaking of overdoses, old dude, you heard about him?
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yup.
Yeah.
Really?
Was that today or yesterday?
Is he alive?
That was yesterday. Dead. He is dead from heroin.
Heroin OD.
Oh, no.
They found him in his bathroom with a needle in his arm. With
46
envelopes.
Years old.
Envelopes. Discarded envelopes, like several. Labeled Ace of Spades, which is apparently a heroin that they haven't seen since 08. And he was late to go pick up his kids, and some, they were like, what's going on? His friend went in and found him there.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's one of those situations where it's just conclusive, you know?
Yeah. There's no fuckery afoot there.
Yeah.
Damn, dude, that sucks.
Yeah.
He's a good actor.
He was good, man.
I mean, I was about to watch his movie The Master recently.
Yeah.
I still haven't seen it, but...
Damn.
Yeah. So let's honor his memory. He had some good shit. Like, what did you guys like? Capote was pretty powerful.
I want to see that. I've never seen that one.
It's a little, it actually gets under your skin quite a bit.
Yeah.
Like, I've actually thought about watching
it. What is
it
about?
But have not, because it's about, I mean, Capote, I guess it's based, I say based on a true story, you know what I mean? It's like, who knows? But he was a journalist and writer. And he he does a story with this guy who went to prison for like murdering a family, and it's been years since I've seen it, so I can't really tell you. But I do remember his portrayal of the guy, of Capote, and it was spot on. I don't even know what exactly Capote was like, but you know, if it was as good as like Colin Firth was for the King's Speech for King George VI. I mean, you can kind of just tell he's in it. He's doing it well.
Yeah.
And it gets, I mean, the details, because they show flashbacks of what happened. And, you know, I won't ruin it or anything like that, but it's just a pretty intense movie. It's
what,
dark.
What was the movie that he was in with Ben Stiller?
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
All right, it's going to fuck with me.
I can kind of picture it, but I don't know anything else about
Along Came Polly. Is that even him? I hope I have that guy right, that, because I'm fucking up his memory.
Ben Stiller's in it. He's in that. Yeah, he's in that one.
You know?
Yeah.
He was really funny in that.
He's an actor in that one, huh?
Remember Rain Man? Or like they were playing basketball. Every time he shot, he'd go, Rain Dance! And like slam the backboard.
He was the priest in Doubt.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen Doubt.
You seen that one, Daniel?
I haven't seen that one either.
That one also is another one that kind of gets under your skin a little bit, because it's just super... I mean, if you know what the content, you know, is, it's about a nun who thinks that a priest is molesting the kids and the thing. And it's real weird, because they never really say, you know?
Like, never confirm it.
You know, it's just a series of intense dialogue-based scenes between the two. And I forget the name of the actress, but she's also very good.
What's her name? Meryl Streep.
Meryl Streep.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, that's another one I haven't seen in years, but I remember it was very powerful just because of the intensity of the situation. And it's like, you just see a little, you know, you see Seymour Hoffman saying things and like, you know, is it, and you wonder to yourself, is it creepy or is he being a good priest? And it's so disturbing to see, because I mean, I don't know what your upbringing was. Me and Daniel were raised Catholic, you know, so we spent a lot of time around priests, and with the internet coming up and all that kind of stuff, you know, we started getting to see a little bit more. We hear more of these stories. I saw this huge Rolling Stone article that I've talked about on the podcast before, that you know, talks about all these secret files that get kept away, and they move priests around when they get in trouble. You know, the higher ups would just move them to another place, and other incidents would happen, and they kind of like wipe their record clean and all this stuff. Well, it came out that this cabinet, they found all these files and stuff, and Rolling Stone had this huge article.
Oh, wow.
I'll have to go back and find it, and maybe I think it's on the blog somewhere, or no, I posted it as a Twitter thing, but I could easily refine it. But to be honest, like the first time I posted, I was like, this is going to take some heat. People are probably not going to appreciate this. But I mean.
But damn.
Yeah, I mean, if you really put in the time and read it, you know, it's not me just like, you know, I mean, Rolling Stone did it, not me, but
yeah, it's a very,
just his performance and just getting under your skin in that way, it's a very, very weird way to get under somebody's skin when it deals with little children and religion, being a religious figure and powers involved and... you know, it's like when a cop puts on his uniform and puts on his gun.
Yeah, it's a weird spot.
And can pull people over and has authority. The religious community, the ones who are running it, I mean, very much have the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
And they have a weird...
A lot of power.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's like a, they're in a, like a trusted position. You don't expect something like that to happen.
Yeah.
Abusing that trust, so...
Yeah, and when you have some religions that suppress sexuality or command that your sexuality falls into a certain line...
Yeah.
And you have to live that by that way, and excuse me, and God is a big factor in, like, how the outcome of your actions are put into place.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it all gets really weird. You're making a lifetime commitment to it, you know? And there's no black or whiteness.
It's so damn strange.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did y'all hear this thing about Woody Allen recently?
No.
He's got, like, a daughter. Essentially what happened was after the Golden Globes, they had this, like, tribute to him, and the daughter came out and was pretty much just pissed. Like, when she was 7, she said that he... I didn't read like in depth, so I don't know how the extent of it. Mm-hmm. She said that he, I guess he molested her, and the mother, you know, took her side, and they took him to a court or something, and they're like, we just don't have the evidence, we can't prosecute him. But she's like 28, 38. She's, you know, older now, and she just was just put this thing and talking about how pissed she was about like how everyone's praising him and like he, you know. Sexually assaulted her and stuff like.
So did they? They didn't charge him. They didn't find him guilty.
Uh-uh.
So we really don't know.
You know.
So he could be totally innocent for all we know.
Yeah, absolutely. It's allegedly, I mean.
Yeah.
But if I don't know, it's one of those things like someone's lying. Mm-hmm. So who is it? We don't know. We'll never know. Just kind of interesting.
We think it's so creepy in court.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Like one thing I heard. Like a lot of people side with her because the dude, he had an adopted daughter and he married her. Ever hear about that? Once she was 18, they got married, but he was his adopted daughter.
I do so remember hearing that.
That happened. So, you know, that's kind of like, I don't know, man, something's going, maybe, you know? So you kind of take the side of the girl.
Yeah.
But.
That's creepy.
Yeah.
Speaking of creepy, transition, you saw. That American Psycho movie, didn't you?
It was the last
one. Oh, yeah, it's a good movie.
How do I feel?
Any confusion?
The ending is like the very, very ending.
Yeah.
Kind of left me like, I didn't think about it until like afterward. I was like, did he make all this up?
Yeah.
Or,
okay, so that's the vibe y'all get.
I don't know.
That's what I feel like. That's why, yeah.
He finds, like, head. The girl, his secretary finds just a bunch of drawings. You know, it just kind of looks like. You know, and then the guy says, I had dinner with him the other night. I mean...
What I take from it was, it's like American Psycho. So it's kind of like this thing with like...
Business.
How it's all in his head.
Yeah.
So like, instead of just him being a psycho, he's American Psycho. It's like a... I wouldn't say criticism, but like shows the American just all internalizing and all that. Just kind of... I think it was all in his head. That's how I took it at the end.
Yeah, this confession has been totally...
Yeah, and just like, you know, people can look completely normal on the outside, but on the inside, they're just... They can be out of their fucking minds.
Mm-hmm.
So...
I love the little things, like there's one part where he's having dinner with his friend and they're talking, and then it does a cutaway scene, and then it cuts back to Christian Bale, and he goes... Do you know I like to dissect girls? I'm completely, utterly insane. And then they transition to the other guy, and the guy's like laughing with his drink in his hand, and he's laughing. He's like, oh. And then he just changes the subject to something else, and it's like, did Christian Bale say that, or was he just thinking it?
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure he was just thinking it, which leads me to believe that the whole thing was a thought process.
Yeah,
and,
that's the vibe I got.
Because also, but it's weird because then he also says something to the girl at the bar at the very beginning, like when you first get a glimpse of his character, And she's like, we don't take these anymore. You got to pay in cash. And he just kind of smiles and gives her the cash.
Yeah.
And walks away. And he's like, I'm gonna fucking kill you because you're rude and you're ugly. And then, you know, you can see him say that in the mirror while her back's turned. And it's close enough for her to hear, but the music in the club's so loud.
Yeah.
She turns around and it's like, did he say that?
That was a good movie.
I think he did say that because the mirror shows his reflection of him saying it.
And I mean, it could be one of those things he externalizes when no one else is around.
When he can get away with it.
Yeah, when he can get away with it. But it's something he would, it's only just a fantasy to him. He would never really live it out.
That's what I thought was really weird was the way he described music.
You're right.
The way he would describe music to people.
Yeah.
It was so odd.
Yeah.
You know? Uncomfortable.
His analysis of Collins.
Phil Collins.
Phil Collins. And Genesis. And Whitney Houston. And he, you know, it's such weird. He'll be talking about some dark stuff, and then all of a sudden, I'm walking on sunshine. He's walking through his office, and he's got the headphones on. And,
hey, did he fuck those hookers?
I think he may have done that.
Sure he did.
It kind of blurs the line of what's real, what's not.
Yeah.
So that feels like something that could have definitely been real. I'd have to watch
Christian Bale, you are good.
Yeah.
I love the part where, like, the girl, the hooker's running down, down the hall screaming, and you see Christian Bale butt naked run down with a chainsaw, and he's got tennis shoes on.
Yeah.
He's covered in blood, and he's got those white Nikes or whatever the hell they are, and he's like running full speed. It's like, when did he stop and put on shoes? Like, this guy was chasing the girl with a chainsaw through his apartment trying to get to her. She gets out the door and starts running down the hall. And then,
I wish that was a deleted scene. Like, he's got the chainsaw. He's like, God damn it. He's tying his shoes. Where's that other shoe?
He imagined his shoes on.
I mean, just think. He just killed another girl in the bed, and the girl sees it and runs away. He gets the chainsaws chasing her. She gets out the door, and he stops and goes, well, I should probably put on tennis shoes because I'm going to be running.
Right.
Yeah. And I mean, he's swole in the movie, and that's part of what the movie is him talking about, like, I can do 1,000 crunches now.
Yeah.
And you see him work out all the time. And I mean, he is
a freaky workout,
Yeah.
It's like P1000X. You know?
What I didn't understand, I might have missed like 5 minutes of the movie where this started, but like, where was his snap off point? Like, I didn't. He was like having a conversation, then all of a sudden he was going to get money for an ATM. The ATM's like, feed me a stray cat.
Yeah.
And then he's like trying to stick the cat into the ATM. And then he goes off on his killing spree.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like, why did that happen right there? What happened? Like, did he just snap?
I don't know.
I mean, it had to be his snapping point, because then he created this whole elaborate idea of all these people he's killed, and he actually goes and calls his lawyer up and is like, killed all these people. So he snapped.
Yeah.
I mean, you could tell emotionally he was destroyed.
You know what I thought was funny?
That it started with the cat, but what happened before that? That
I don't remember.
Maybe
I'd have to rewatch it again.
Yeah.
Do you, one that was kind of funny to me is like, he's in that revolving door in the hotel.
Comes back.
And he's like, shit. And he comes around back to the revolving door and shoots the guy and then goes out again and leaves.
Uh-huh. And then, but then the one guy, he comes in, he reaches into his pocket and he just pulls out a pen and starts writing out his name. I thought it was funny. It's a funny movie.
It is.
Like, funny and uncomfortable.
It's dark as shit, but it's funny.
Yeah. But the one part where he like, he's running down the street after he's, you know, done the cat thing or whatever. He's running down the street and the cops pull up and he shoots at the cops and the car explodes.
Yeah.
And then he stops and he like looks at his watch and then he listens to it. And then his watch is just like dead. It's just like, I gotta get that fixed. You know? And then he just runs off and kills more people.
He's so fucking crazy.
It's so weird.
Fuck that movie, dude. Because I never got closure. I didn't know.
Yeah.
It's too many questions.
It's probably one of those where you're not supposed to ever.
That was the purpose. I know the director wanted to do that, but I needed an end.
Speaking of looking at watches.
What time is it?
It's half till.
Yeah, we should probably get set up, huh?
Yeah. Let's go check out the sound system, see what's going on. See if anybody's around.
What is this, 23? Coastal Noise?
Coastal Noise 23, yeah. So, get our material together and all that stuff. See if anybody's coming here.
Sounds like some more bodies have been coming.
Yeah, I hope some people are here. All right, everybody.
Like six trucks, parks.